जन्म सार्थक करी कर पर उपकार। As stated in this verse, Bharatvarsha is a most pious land. The followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His different incarnations, and they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word adhipunyam indicates that there are certainly many other pious men throughout the world, but the people of Bharatvarsha are even more pious. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for the benefit of all human society. Srila Madhvacharya also recognizes the land of Bharatvarsha, Visheshad Bharate Punyam. Throughout the whole world, there is no question of Bhagavad Bhakti or devotional service, but the people of Bharatvarsha can easily understand the devotional service of the Lord. Thus every inhabitant of Bharatvarsha can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavad Bhakti and then preaching this cult throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 9, text number 41. So I will read something from the purport as well, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And especially given that today is our MSF, monthly Sankirtan festival, it is but apt that we not only hear about it, but consider this within ourselves as we go out today to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, chant the holy name in the streets of Chicago. So from the purport, Prabhupada starts with, the magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he was born in Bengal, and Bengalis therefore have a special duty towards him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all the inhabitants of India. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Then he talks about the importance of human life. And human life means Brahma Jigyasa, the actual inquiry into spiritual life. And if a person doesn't inquire into spiritual life, according to the Vedas, that person is not a human being, is no better than an animal. And then Prabhupada says, anyone who takes birth in the land of India has the special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instruction and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. For 99.9% of the Indian people, even simple village farmers and others who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in the past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His representatives. These ideas are natural inheritance of a person born in India. India's many holy places of pilgrimage, such as Gaya, Banaras, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwaram, and Jagannath Puri, and still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. And then he gives the picture of what's really happening. Although the present leaders of India are influencing the people to not believe in God, not to believe in the next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and although they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, and become supposedly civilized, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, they gather together by the thousands. We have actual experience of this. Whenever the Krishna consciousness movement holds a Sankirtan festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad, or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnations of Godhead speak, people gather in thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little bit more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here, Janma sarthaka kari kara para upakara. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. So there are some benefits for being born in India. The benefit is that one has access to the basic understanding of spiritual life, about transmigration, about God, about respect and obedience to authority, about Vedic culture. At the same time, because Kali Yuga is very swiftly taking hold of the lives of people, and because somehow over the generations people have placed more value in the Western civilization, meaning looking at, oh, economic development. In Hindi it is called Arthika Vikas, economic development. And because economic development has become a more important pursuit of life, what is easily accessible is now becoming very inaccessible. Yet, Prabhupada says, even when pseudo-incarnations or so-called religious leaders, they speak pretty much bogus stuff, still people gather in thousands. And that's because somewhere below the surface is great potential. But just because great potential is there, if it is not tapped, it is useless. Then it becomes the service or duty or responsibility of those who have been given the opportunity to tap into that potential to do something about it. Now, because the Western, I've been reading Harishauri Prabhu's diary. Harishauri Prabhu spent more than 2 years as Prabhupada's personal servant. And thanks to him, he pretty much logged everything, daily activities of Srila Prabhupada. And where I'm reading is when Srila Prabhupada is, it's in 1976, and Srila Prabhupada is in Vrindavan, And last night, where I read was the niece of Subhash Chandra Bose. Some historical context this. Subhash Chandra Bose was called Netaji. Neta means leader. So he was called Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose. He, because India was under the subjugation of the British, and Gandhi was trying to get them out of India, and he started all this non-violence idea. There were a lot of people in India who were very frustrated because they were feeling very strongly that this whole idea of non-violence is not working. In fact, this idea of non-violence is creating even more violence in the country, because it is allowing for the British to divide people according to religion. So there were certain persons who had a different idea. One of them was Subhash Chandra Bose. His idea was that he would go to Japan and he would gather from Japan and Singapore all the prisoners of war, train them up, and bring them back to India and fight the British. So naturally, his viewpoint and Gandhi's viewpoint didn't match. Yet, Bose was successful at doing it, and the British were really challenged. So in that section, where Prabhupada is talking to Harishauri Prabhu, that evening, Subhash Chandra Bose's niece came to meet with Prabhupada. And she was a very close friend of the then Prime Minister, Srimati Indira Gandhi. And if anyone knows anything about Indira Gandhi, I mean, she was called an Iron Lady, as much as Margaret Thatcher. And very powerful. And it was a time when India was under emergency because of the war with China and so many things happening. So all of this is to glorify Prabhupada. So it's coming, don't worry. So the niece, that lady, she told Prabhupada, because she was a close friend of Indira Gandhi, that Indira Gandhi actually very strongly feels that you are the only pious, pure person in the country. Because what you have done, others have not been able to do. You've been able to bring about such a revolution in the lives of people that she really appreciates it. And Prabhupada told Harishauri Prabhu that the British left India not because of this non-violence movement. They left because of Netaji's idea. So Harishauri Prabhu said to Prabhupada, "But you did the same, your idea was also the same thing. That you went to the West and you trained up those persons who have absolutely no idea of what civilization means. They had no idea of God consciousness, nothing. You trained them up and you brought them back to India. And when the people of India saw what you have done, they wanted to participate." Prabhupada called his American Western disciples my dancing white elephants. And in that video, his name was Bhavananda Prabhu, I think. He says, "And we were very happy to be Prabhupada's dancing white elephants." So the people of India were shocked, amazed. What a transformation Srila Prabhupada has done or made in the lives of people. So when this conversation is happening, actually Srila Prabhupada's health is very, very bad. He's very weak. In fact, his legs have become swollen and he's not even gone on morning walks. He stopped eating because he was not digesting anything. But as soon as that evening, when this lady came and glorified Prabhupada for what he has done, immediately Prabhupada called his leading sannyasis. At that time it was Madhudisha Swami. Called him and told him, "Arrange for Sankirtan parties. that will travel on bus or by bus to different corners of India. And at every village they will stop, get down, chant Hare Krishna, distribute literature and make people devotees. Immediately, that very evening, as soon as she had left. So Harishori Prabhu was glorifying Prabhupada that the encouragement Prabhupada felt was so immense that it didn't matter whether his physical condition was suitable or not suitable. He was already taking advantage of the environment. They said, oh, if the Prime Minister of India feels that we are doing something good, we should take advantage of such a climate. Usually the political climate is not friendly to the devotees. Because when people become devotees of Krishna, it hurts the economy. Right? Because part of the economy is to, the whole idea is to make people spend their money. Work very hard and spend it. They don't like people saving their money. The more the citizens of a country spend their money, the more more active is the economy. If people stop spending, that's what devotees do, they stop spending. They also stop earning, so they don't pay taxes, so that's another thing. So the government doesn't like it so much. Like, oh, no income, no expenditure, what's going on? And the whole idea of consumerism goes away. You know, oh, buy this, buy that, collect this, gather that, all that goes away. The Prabhupada said, if such a wonderful environment's there, let's take advantage. That's because this verse, Prabhupada in both places says, very important verse. A very important verse is that we have been very fortunate that we have been, I guess, given the opportunity for being devotees of Krishna. Especially the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being devotees of Krishna is one thing. But being followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a completely different category of mercy. There are many devotees of Krishna, but they are not active. Or they are not empowered in a particular way. Only those who are devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are empowered in a very particular way. To do something that others cannot do. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Kali Yuga empowers each and every one of his followers with a special potency, the potency to give to others as well. There are many Vaishnava traditions and they are nice devotees, but the potency to give others is not so strong. Because one, it's not their focus. And second, that potency is not fully invested in them. But the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of us, have a very special gift. And this gift has a feature. It cannot be given without taking. For example, if someone decides, oh, I'm also going to distribute Prabhupada's books and, you know, make others devotees. But if I myself haven't studied Prabhupada's books and myself haven't become a devotee, that potency doesn't fully manifest. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special benediction, that as one is becoming a devotee of Krishna, he or she can impart this to others. Janma sarthaka kari kara para upkar. That is, as long as we are on the track of becoming perfected personalities, the same potency is available to give to others. And doesn't have to be something massive and big and one glance and 50,000 people become devotees. That would be nice too. And some people have that potency, but not everyone. And it's not necessary for everyone either. But even if we meet one, even if whoever we meet, however, somehow or the other, if we can give a drop of what we have received, then that's a great service done. So when we do these monthly Sankirtan festivals, this is specifically for that opportunity to make people go out of their comfort zone, go out of the mode of taking, which is nice, taking is very nice, but taking is successful when it is also used for giving. So to actually go out and to give something to others. Whether we say something or we don't say something, whether we actually distribute a book or not, just the fact that we have gone out together is in the spirit of giving. That spirit of giving is what actually fuels the life of a devotee. Because if the great Acharya Srila Prabhupada did not come out of Vrindavan to give, we would not be here. These buildings would not be here. We would not be here. It's safe to say we would not be here. The amount of mercy that has become available would not otherwise be available. So we may not be able to imitate or do exactly what Prabhupada did. We were just talking, there is so much youthful energy here. That youthful energy, if it is not utilized, then we may have the greatest asset that never sees the light of day. So one may be born in India, one may not be born in India, but then everything becomes the same. Now, especially for those who are born in India or has something to do with Vedic culture, the responsibility is higher. Because the access is supposedly easier, but we see that that's not the case. There is so much going on, even in the so-called pious land of, not so-called, it is a pious land of India. Yet, one thing that you notice if you ever go, that all the sacred rivers are drying up. The Ganges that used to be so full of pure water is shrinking and shifting its course. Yamuna has become shallow. Down in South India, there are so many other sacred rivers, the Kaveri and the Krishna. The Krishna River used to be so wide. Krishna River flows right below where Lord Narasimhadev's temple is, Mangalagiri Narasimhadev temple. It used to be so wide that they had to construct a bridge by which the train would pass. And the bridge was about a mile wide long, because the Krishna River was about a mile wide. If you go today, it is nothing but a little, you know, what we see here, Des Plaines River, it's like that. Nothing. And all you see is a dry riverbed. What does that indicate? It indicates the inability of people to access the great gifts. The simple principle, when resources are not utilized properly in Krishna's service, those resources dry up. They become inaccessible. They go away. Like the holy name of Krishna. We were discussing this yesterday. It's the greatest resource that a conditioned living entity in Kali Yuga can get if it's not utilized properly. One will not find the best effect out of it. Although one has the greatest gift. So it's important. It's important for us to become inspired and participate. participate in what Lord Chaitanya wants us to do. To meet people, to somehow or the other connect them to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya. And those who do that, they are the greatest beneficiaries. And this requires humility. Yesterday, at our college program, the title was Humility is an Ornament of a Yogi. So there are many categories of people. Down there, just above animals, is the category of human beings who cannot do anything beneficial for themselves also. In fact, they do everything harmful to themselves. Drugs, alcohol, like that. They do things that are harmful to themselves. In fact, even animals don't harm themselves. Human beings do. Then is the next category of persons who they don't do any harm to themselves, but they don't do anything beneficial also for themselves. A little above those are the selfish folks who are always thinking about how to benefit themselves, although materially, let's say. Above them are the category of persons who want to benefit themselves and, if they have a little time, benefit others. It's a mixture. A little above them are persons who want to benefit others quite a bit. And in between they can get a little benefit from it, that's okay. Then there are the persons who want to only benefit others. But this is all material so far. We haven't even come to spiritual personalities. Above that are the personalities who want to live and serve others only because they want to connect others to God. This is a very rare species of human beings. This is called para-upkar. And to be able to come to that platform, one needs humility. We discussed humility in different ways yesterday. One of the features of humility is to consider oneself insignificant. That one, by oneself, on one's own, one is very insignificant. But for Krishna's service, to be the instrument of the most significant. Humility is not just thinking I'm insignificant. Humility is also that Krishna is the most infinite, significant person. This is humility. So to act as an instrument of Krishna and the previous acharyas for the benefit of others, while knowing our own insignificance, is what will take a person to that level. And we are aspirants of that. So we may be improper instruments today, yet nevertheless we are meant to be instruments, and we want to be. And therefore these great personalities like Rishabhdev, Lord Krishna, it's coming up in this chapter. He's glorifying Lord Rishabhdev. And in the next verses he glorifies Maharaj Priyavrata, because Rishabhdev appeared in the lineage of Maharaj Priyavrata. And then Shukadeva Goswami assures Parikshit Maharaj, don't worry, although Lord Rishabhdev appeared in Maharaj Priyavrata's lineage, Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Raghu dynasty, Lord Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. If you are wondering, hey, is anyone in the Kuru dynasty? And there isn't one, don't worry. You're actually very fortunate, because Lord Krishna spent more time with the Kurus than he spent with the Yadus. Because your grandfathers are very, very wonderful devotees. So he's encouraging you. So in our lineage, if we find, we might not find great personalities. But somehow or the other, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we are all part of what's called Achyuta Gotra. So it's a special concession, it's a special gift to be part of Achyuta Gotra. Gotra means lineage. So having come to Krishna, we're all part of Krishna's lineage now. And that comes with an element of responsibility. It's to give the same opportunity to others. So those are some thoughts for MSF, and then we'll wrap up. Any comments or something you want to add? Okay, nothing. Thank you very much. Oh, you have something, Prasad?
Can you just broadly explain this, the meaning of this? One need humility to reach that platform, considering ourselves to be insignificant, Krishna to be infinite, and act for the benefit of other while knowing our insignificance. So how can you just a little bit explain this?
What? The opposite of humility is pride. And one of the features of pride is when a person thinks of himself or herself as the independent source of benefit for others. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. In other words. But humility is when one looks at oneself and understands, I'm really very insignificant, both literally and figuratively, very insignificant. Yet Krishna is the most merciful and compassionate. Lord Chaitanya is the most compassionate, Mahavadanyaya. In service to Lord Chaitanya, whatever I have received, if I can give to another person, at least, then whatever happens is the glory of Lord Chaitanya. So the humility is recognizing one's insignificance. What can we do? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Dhara Pravartana. Without Krishna's empowerment, nobody can do anything for anyone. Blessings of Vaishnava and Guru Tattva. Every person, to be a guru, one who understands fully that insignificance, can be a guru. One who doesn't understand significance, Prabhupada said, will be guru. Guru means buffalo. Cow. One who thinks he or she knows everything and is the source of all mercy is guru. One who understands insignificance is guru. Our access to Krishna's mercy is through disciplic succession. How do we understand that we are insignificant? Without Guru, how will we know? Only when we meet a spiritual master do we are told, right? We're very insignificant. Before that, whole family tells us, you're so great, you're so wonderful, you'll make all my dreams come true. And we think, yeah, that's true. True? Only when we meet spiritual master, he says, who are you? Keshagra shatabhagasya shatada kalpidasya cha. The comparison given to hair, because hair is the most insignificant thing in the body, it falls. Of that, you're 1/10,000, the tip of it. Kali Yuga, this is the verse in this, I didn't read it. Lavanyam Keshadharanam. That's the qualification in Kali Yuga. Lavanya means beauty. Lavanya Keshadharanam. People think that the beauty is in hair. In this previous verse, Prabhupada quotes that in Kali Yuga, everyone will have long hair, the hippies are like that. And according to the Vaishnavas, it's the most insignificant thing. So what do you say to persons who put value into something that has no value? That is the problem. That the insignificant living entity thinks of himself very significant. That is called Maya. That which is not. He's not significant, he thinks he is significant. Our significance is only in relation to Krishna, otherwise there is no significance. Is that okay? Jitendra Prabhu? And brahmachari is generally lavanya keshadharanam. If it's not here, it definitely grows all over here. I had to get on their cases.
I was thinking that the word pride and to be proud is always false. Could we say that, Prabhu?
There is something called good pride.
I think I heard Prabhupada say
when
that.
When Prahlad was a little fellow, every time I would say something about pride, he would ask me, good proud or bad proud? There is good pride. We should take pride that we are Prabhupada's followers.
Yeah,
we should take pride in that. Not in the way that pride brings arrogance, but in the way that pride brings responsibility.
I think Ramapad Swami, when he was here last, he said, some of my godbrothers kind of swagger, you know, like they're, you know what I mean? And he just kind of, I remember him saying something like that. So I thought that was kind of something not to be appreciated, you know, become a, you know, my way or the highway kind of guy, you know.
See, I'm from India. What does swagger mean?
You know, like John Wayne. He would swagger. He was a big, you know, cowboy kind of guy, and you know, he had his own style, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They used to say that a lot in America. You act like John Wayne, you know. You watch too many movies or something. You know what I'm saying? Not a good thing. Hare Krishna.
I don't know what you're saying. Okay. Gokulananda.
Internet.
Sure.
This is Carlo, Bhakti Carlos.
This is Carlos?
I don't know, it's a question. It's like, he said, I think that...
Is it Carlos?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that oftentimes our faith goes contrary to our actions towards others due to an erroneous interpretation of the scriptures. Am I right? He said. And then he says... That's why one doesn't advance spiritually.
Can you read it again?
Yeah, I can. He said that oftentimes people, our faith may go contrary to our actions towards others. Because
our faith goes contrary to our actions towards others.
Yeah, because of a misinterpretation of the scriptures.
Uh-huh. Or we look at others as demons like that?
Maybe, because he's not giving an example, so you can...
Okay, so his question is...
So he's just saying, am I right, or...
Yes. The statement is correct. But we should be careful as to who we apply that statement to. Part of it is... As now, look from our side, if we recognize that someone's actions towards others are being misinterpreted by them, or that they are misinterpreting something in scripture and therefore they are acting in a particular way towards others. For the bystander, it's important to know that the same doesn't apply to every category of Vaishnava. Understand? There are different Vaishnavas of different caliber. What applies to the Kanishta doesn't apply to the Uttama. So as bystanders, we should know how to. We may apply, one should be regulated. It's very important for a Kanishta. A Kanishta who is not regulated doesn't progress. You can't apply the same to a Madhyama. You can't apply the same to an Uttama. An Uttama can give up his regulation and still be totally okay. But we may say, they're not following scripture properly. So I'm speaking from the side of the bystander. So we should be careful that we should not apply our understanding of scripture on another person's understanding of scripture. That's risky. Okay, Carlos Prabhu? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So since today is MSF, we will not do Ishtagoshti. We'll give devotees have some time. We have prasadam and get ready for 9:30 here. 10 o'clock in the temple room. 10 o'clock.